Hello, welcome, welcome everyone to the So You Think You Can Dance wrap-up. My name is Lita Brillman. Unfortunately, Kelly is too busy being an awesome superstar theater critic at Toronto Fringe to join us this week, but we have the best possible substitute. We have, I know her from being a wonderful, fabulous woman and podcaster. You know her as one half of the Dancing with the Stars wrap-up. Here she is. It's Angela Bloom. Angela, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, back and better than ever.
Yes, it is certainly Dancing with the Stars adjacent, although there has been some drama between the two shows. Nigel getting pretty insecure throwing shade at Dancing with the Stars this year.
Oh my gosh, I know. Nigel's so funny, though. He's the best. Yeah. I love
so
him.
Thank you for making the crossover to the rival show.
Yes, of course. I love this show. It's so great. I've been a fan. I haven't been watching every season, but I'm definitely excited to be here. I feel like this season, I've been in and out for the last few episodes, and I think auditions are so fun. So I'm glad I'm catching you guys on the last episode of auditions. That's for sure.
Yeah, they have been fun this year. They've been pretty streamlined because we have the shorter episodes than we used to have. So there's not as much of the laughing at people who are bad.
Which is big fan.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the bad auditions. I am still glad that they keep in one or two just because I feel like it's part of the noble tradition of these Fox reality shows.
And I will say that they kept in some gems. Like the ones that they do pick to keep in, they pick the good ones. They definitely pick some laughers. So I was happy.
Yes. Yeah, they do a good job with these shorter episodes. So we are in New York City for these last rounds of auditions. Angela, do you ever get the desire to just go down and watch these crazy people in line when they do these New York auditions?
Yeah, so it's so funny because I never know that these are happening. I mean, I'm sure that like I see these giant lines and I run the other way. Like I know when they have like lines for Comic-Con tickets because mm-hmm. on the way to work, I pass where they sell them. And so I know that they have Comic-Con tickets for sale. And so I'm always just like, oh, okay. That must be for Comic-Con this year. But I definitely have never seen a line for dance auditions. Yeah. I probably would have run away. For sure.
Yeah. I don't even really know how these auditions work anymore because they used to go to so many cities and now they just show us LA and New York. So I don't know if it's that they still do auditions in a bunch of cities and then they just send all of those people to those two cities. Because I know, like, at least last year, they had auditions in Philadelphia that I saw going around my social media. But I guess that they still scout people in all these cities, and then they just tell them, like, go to New York or L.A. So the lines must be ridiculous because there's so many fewer places.
I mean, it must. And I do feel like they have them at very random places. Like, this was at a theater that I've never seen. Like, if it was at, like, the Javits Center, I'm sure I would never course go there, but like I don't know where this theater is. Like, is it in Times Square? Because then I would for sure not go there. Absolutely not.
True New Yorker.
Yeah, no, we went to me and Mike went to Times Square for we went to see Mystery Science Theater live, which was really, really cool. But we went to see that, and I don't know why I didn't realize it would be in like the Times Square area, but we went on Saturday last week, and I had like a panic attack. I was like, why are we here? Can we leave? Like, it was so terrible. So
the only time I've ever hung out with you in real life is in Times Square. So I, for all I know, you never leave Times Square.
Oh my God. So terrible. I do.
Yeah. I believe that this was at somewhere called the King's Theater.
Yeah. Which, no, you're right. That's true.
Yeah. I don't live in New York. I don't know where anything is.
No, I mean, I'll look it up, but I don't think it's famous.
So we start with like a little weird, like, haha, look at the banter between the judges, which falls very flat with me because what'd you say?
Wait, I think it's in Brooklyn. I don't even think it's in Manhattan.
Oh, it's in Brooklyn. Wow.
Sorry.
What a trendy audition.
Oh my God.
To have it
I
out in Brooklyn.
I don't know where it is. It's in a borough. sorry, continue.
Oh, they just start with this little, like, you know, look at all the back and forth between the judges, which falls very flat with me because Nigel and Mary have had authentic banter for like a decade. And I am convinced that Nigel has like never had a conversation with Vanessa, not on this panel.
Yeah. And whenever I've noticed it, like the last couple episodes, but like they, whenever they do this thing where they're like, it's between like Nigel and Vanessa to decide if they go to choreography or if they go to the academy, but like they just stare at each other. Like they don't talk. Like they're just like, you decide. I don't care. Who are you?
Yeah, because like Nigel wants to amp up the drama, but Vanessa is like incapable of making an actual decision.
Or human talk, like speak. Like she doesn't speak. She's like, she just like stands there and makes like arm movements. It's so weird.
Yeah, so we haven't gotten your take yet on Vanessa as the judge. So is it a thumbs down on Vanessa from you?
I actually don't. I don't mind her. I think she's very sweet. And I think that her opinions are fine. Like, I don't, I agree with her most of the time, but I don't understand why she's there. And I don't necessarily like her interactions with Nigel or Mary. So I don't know. It's all very strange.
Yeah, there's definitely a lack of chemistry, and it might be that she's like 30 years younger than them.
Right. They needed somebody just a little bit closer average wise in the age group. But I mean, it's not terrible. I'd be curious to see past audition phase because when they get a little bit more into like the actual routines, because it is hard to see, like there's not much content for them to be judging. So. We'll
yeah,
see.
That's true. And I just wonder if she has the capability, and maybe this is more on the choreographers, but I think it should be on the judges too. I just wonder if she even has the capability to push people to be better. Like, I don't know if she has that setting where she's able to deliver not even tough love, but just like genuine criticism.
Right. Like we'll see later. She's like, I really like Indian dance. And she's then she's like,
I want your hands.
She just like plays with her hands and you're just like, cool. And then Nigel's like, I really liked how you merged Indian dance with contemporary dance, but I would like to see you do choreography because I feel like it was very specific what you did, and I want to see you do something different, you know? And it was like, oh, okay, well, that was genuine criticism. Cool, moving on. You know, so it's like, yeah, I agree. I'm not sure how I feel about her, but I would say that most of the things she does say are pretty surface level, so I don't disagree with them, but yeah, I'm sort of neutral about her at this point. And her outfits are to Tarable. Just
hey, it looks very cold in New York.
I guess. It's like the middle of summer.
I think they filmed it.
Everyone leaves in like parkas, but
But that's still no excuse to wear that like floor length open brown trench coat or whatever that was.
So bad.
It's not acceptable. So our first auditioners, we have Magda and Kiki. They're from New
Sorry.
They are from New Jersey. Kiki is the man and Magda is the woman. I have that written specifically because I knew I would forget. And they've been dancing together for 8 years, but Kiki decided just 3 days before the audition, you know what? I'm going to try out for So You Think You Can Dance, because he was going to partner Magda, and then he decided to do it himself.
Yeah, which is weird, because like they both clearly are very talented, so he was just going to partner her and just not audition.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. I guess some people maybe just like don't want to go through it.
I guess, and he like is obviously very, like, I don't want to say full of himself, but has a personality, so like he clearly would be somebody who would, I would imagine, want to be in the spotlight. So it's very funny. But I mean, Magda, the Polish immigrant turned New Jersey native, was obviously the pants in the relationship.
Yes. I don't know. I thought this dynamic was very funny.
Yeah, they were a mess. They were a hot mess. Yeah. I just liked how they kept having their producers re-ask them the question because they didn't like how they answered it.
So You Think You Can Dance does this weird thing where they edit like a majority of the interviews are bloopers.
Yeah, which I know.
I think is interesting, even with Kat, which I think is interesting because it adds like kind of authenticity where it's like you're actually going to learn more about this person from these genuine moments than you are from like how they answer a question in a really rehearsed way. So I think it's good because they're trying to get us, like, there's no villains on So You Think You Can Dance, except for that one time that Asif was on it before he was on Are You the One? But apart from that, there's like no one that you want to root against. So they're trying to get you to like everybody as authentic people. So they show these little moments. But yeah, their dynamic is very funny. She answers all of the questions for him. And like at first, I don't think she even realized she's doing it. And then she starts to do it on purpose.
I totally thought they were a couple, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does the thing that ballroom couples always do where Nigel asks them if they're dating and then the guy protests like way too much.
So much. She's like, no, yeah, we're no. soulmates.
But yeah, I mean, she's gorgeous, but like, no, we're soulmates, but like dance soulmates. Just dance.
Oh, yikes. They're like gonna be married in 3 years. It's fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But then they all like they got a ticket to the Academy like ASAP. They were just like all judges just held it up right away.
Yeah, like, no comments.
Just like standard cha-cha too. I was like not that impressed with it.
Yeah,
they were on the ballroom train tonight. They were just like ready to go.
Yes, standard is a great word for this.
Like, okay, that was a good cha-cha, I guess.
Yeah, so I liked that it relied on actual ballroom technique instead of just like crazy lifts or like tricks, which is nice. They don't miss any holds. It's clean, but like there's really not much to say about it. I don't really remember much about it except that it was a cha-cha. Like, I don't even remember what they were wearing.
Yeah, I mean, she was wearing just like a leotard and like a leopard wrap skirt, and he was wearing like black pants and like a black open shirt.
Yeah, I just don't remember.
Like, it was just anything super, about like, this. Rehearsal-y. Like, it wasn't good.
Yeah. So you do not see
that it wasn't good, but they're like were just like basic. That's what I meant.
So you don't see Magda and Kiki as future partners on Dancing with the Stars?
I mean, maybe. I guess. Like, I guess they could be, right?
That's possible. We have a lot of ballroom this year, though.
Yeah, no, it was so they were just like they made a point of saying, like, we're not going to show you all of these people because we just let anyone that did ballroom in. Like, they were just like,
they do a montage.
We're not going to tell you, but we're just not going to show you.
Yeah, they do a montage of a few great ballroom people that honestly all looked more fun than Magda and Kiki. So not really sure why they chose to highlight that one, but
probably the dynamic between them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, no, I'm like, that's probably it. I mean, I can't imagine anything else because the ballroom was just fine. But then we moved on.
Yes, we move on to Zachary Downer, who's 20 and from New Jersey. And he auditioned 2 years ago and got cut at the Green Mile, which is so heartbreaking. I almost can't imagine. Like, I'm sure that this has happened many times before where someone gets cut right before the top 20 or top 10 or whatever season it is. And they come back. But I can't think of anyone offhand just because I think of like how devastating that would be and how much you have to go through in Vegas week or the Academy, depending on what season you're on, how much you have to go through. And just like, why would you put yourself through that again just to have like the potential for that heartbreak?
Oh my God, I know. And he was so good. I was in love him.
Yes, this was my favorite audition of the night.
I vaguely remember him because I like barely watched season 12, but he was so good during this.
Yeah, this was my favorite audition of the night and it was not close.
Oh,
and
for sure.
This is also where I the first time this night where I was just like, okay, Nigel and I are on the exact same page, because throughout the whole episode, I would write something down and then Nigel would say it. And this was the first time where I was like, Alvin Ailey realness. This is amazing.
Oh my God, I know. And then when she compares him to a bird, it was so, I was like, Vanessa was like, this is a bird. And I was just like, I was like, first of all, like that's super, so basic of her, but I felt like it was one of her better comparisons, like one of her better comments, because I was like, yeah, that's a very juvenile way to talk about this, but yeah, no, you're right, that's a good comparison. And then Nigel was like, yeah, like I really liked your interpretation of West African movement with contemporary dance, and I was like, well, yeah, of course you did, like
yeah, but Nigel says it reminds him of Alvin Ailey, and I was like, all right, none of my commentary is original anymore. Nigel should just do this podcast, because it's like the first of many times this episode that we said the exact same thing. But anyway, this was divine and heavenly. and gorgeous, and I loved everything about this. And Mary says, I can't see you not making it this time, which is extremely cruel if he doesn't make it. So I really hope he does.
Yeah, so I mean, they were, I think that they were like, for a second, they were like, oh, let's just, let's have him do choreography. And then it was like, no.
He does not need to do that. And I also feel a little bad for him because back in his day, I believe it was a top 20, and now it's a top 10 because they're all paired with an all-star. So his odds are even lower, but I really hope he makes it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited about him.
Yes, he deserves it. And he's only 20. Oh my God, they're all so young. It's okay. So next up, we have Ramita Ravi from Murraysville, Pennsylvania, my own backyard. And she is mixing classical Indian dance and contemporary. Were you excited about Ramita?
Yeah, I loved Ramita. I thought she was good. I was a little worried at first because when she danced, I felt like she came across a little pandering if you didn't know her history with studying Indian dance techniques. And I think that was sort of the way that Mary and I felt a little bit like Nigel was seeing it. And then Mary and Vanessa were like, no, like she was really amazing. But I'm glad that they sent her to choreography. And then in the end, sort of we see her make it through to the academy, which was really great because I did really like her. I felt like her, obviously, she has like contemporary skill, which was amazing.
Yeah, I really liked how this actually was a combination of the two styles of Indian and contemporary, and not just like sometimes people will be like, I'm combining hip hop and contemporary, and they'll just like do some breaking and then do a pirouette and a leap and then go back to locking or whatever they do. This was actually combining. She was still doing elements of classical Indian dance while she was doing her leaps and turns.
Oh my God. So it wasn't just like, and I just felt like she, yeah, and I felt like she had like just really great movement and like body shape. So I was I was really impressed with her. I was like not sure what to expect when I saw the Indian outfit. I was like, because Indian dance is so beautiful, but I never know what to expect because it can be interpreted like as really great or like not great, you know. So I thought she was 5 stars.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the reasons it's important to have someone who's actually trained in this, is that So You Think You Can Dance has done quote unquote Bollywood routines, but who, like, I have no idea like how, I mean, I just don't know because I'm not trained in that style, but I just feel like they can get very bastardized, even if it is a choreographer who's trained in that. They're doing it for a competition stage for non-Indian dancers, so I think it becomes catered to their skills when they don't have that training. So I think having someone who is actually trained in that style, who actually knows what it's supposed to look like, is really, really valuable for the diversity of the show in terms of dance vocabulary.
Oh my God, totally. And I'm excited to see what she can do, because it's just like, sometimes we get so bogged down with like this lyrical contemporary stuff, and it's just like, if I see somebody else have an emotional like whatever moment on stage, like amazing, great. Like I really did feel like I always am really moved, but it's just like, okay, I just saw that. So it's like, this was refreshing.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical of their decision to send her to choreography. I feel like she should have gone straight through just based on the precedent that they have set for this season, where we had people in the first episode, like these Russian twins who did some strange performance art piece that was like good art, but I don't know if it showed enough technique, and they go straight through just because the judges were loving what they were doing. Yeah. I was just very, very skeptical of why she went to choreography when she showed pointed feet and leaps and, you know, a good center. Mm-hmm. Like, she demonstrated those things.
Yeah, so she clearly had dance skills plus an Indian like background of classical movement. It was just I think Vanessa got bullied into it because Mary was on board and then Nigel was like, I want to see her do the choreography. And then it was like, what do you think, Vanessa? And Vanessa was like, I'll see her do choreography.
I was like, oh my God.
Shut up. Anyway, I was a little confused about that. Can we talk about my favorite person of the evening?
We can talk about your favorite person of the evening. Would you like to introduce Peter Mangione?
Peter Mangione.
Oh, my God. Obsessed.
So he's 20. He's from New York. He started dancing about 6 months ago.
I'm like laughing and just thinking about him.
And he says he's
from Step Up the movie.
he says he's down to try anything. He can do flips, he can do front handsprings, and he can try. And he says he thinks it's going to be something nice for them to watch.
No,
that immediately sketches me out.
Incorrect. He also was, I expected him when he took off his shirt to be so much more fit than he was. And he was not. But
he's like fit. He has muscles.
Yeah, he was fine. Peter Mangione, though, was hilarious. Like, he was like the perfect person for them to pick for like their like comedy person.
Yeah. Because he's not going to be like insulted when he doesn't go through or like fight with the judges or anything.
He's like, I started dancing 6 months ago. I'm pretty good.
No,
you're not.
Yes. So he's shirtless. He dances to Uptown Funk. And this is like what I can only describe as a 9-year-old gymnastics routine where like there's no dance. There's just kind of like movement in between running into a terrible front handspring or like a somersault.
He's just like running in place almost. Like he's just like running in place, just like doing it's his like, thing.
Bad tumbling plus like a lot of warm-up time in between, like he runs into them.
I don't know if any of our listeners are super familiar with the hit comedy television show Bob's Burgers, of which I'm obsessed.
I am.
Okay, do you watch
I don't know it? About our listeners. Yes, I do.
Frequently? Okay, there was an episode, I think less this frequent season, this current season, season 7, was the Valentine's Day episode, but Bob bought decides that he's going to take dance lessons for Linda.
Oh, yes, for their anniversary.
He goes to the dance studio, and the ballroom dance teacher has died, so he can't take the ballroom dance classes. So instead of the ballroom dance classes, he takes a hip-hop dance. And they're like, that's hip-hop. That's hip-hop. And the way that they dance, they're like in a hip-hop battle. That's how Peter Mangione dances.
Yeah,
and I feel like I wish we could include a clip with when we post this episode, but it's especially poignant. So if all of our listeners can look up That's Hip Hop from Bob's Burgers season 7 Valentine's Day episode, That's Hip Hop.
Yeah, you do a terrible front handspring. That's hip hop.
That's hip hop. You have to sit backwards on a chair because that's hip hop.
Yes.
But that was him. Peter Mangione.
Love. Yeah. So, you know, good for Peter. They hit him with the, like, I think it's so great that you just got up on the stage.
You did it. They did hit him with that real
so
hard.
So brave. Yeah, really? And Vanessa has,
you
like,
did really well.
Yeah, like, I think your technique needs some work.
Oh, yeah, she mentioned his technique.
That the next person? I think there was another person later who she comments on their technique.
Oh, yeah, that was
but,
Mark Fallout Royale.
Yes. That happened. Goodbye, Peter. I will miss you.
Peter. Miss you. Anyway, we go on to like basically the opposite of Peter, which is like your standard competition dancer.
Yes. So this is Ariel. I don't know. Ariel DeSascio. And she has a nice story. This was a very American Ninja Warrior package, where she's there with her mom, and she's very close with her mom, and her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer a few years ago. She thankfully is cancer-free now, but she is, like you said, a very conventional competition dancer. So
started dancing
her mom,
before, has not stopped, super fit, has all...
Yeah, 0% body fat.
literally,
she looks like...
techniques till she dies, because she has them all.
Yeah, she looks like Leighton Meester.
Oh my God, she does look like Leighton Meester. I could see that.
Yeah, so that makes me like her, because Leighton Meester is married to Adam Brody.
Oh, she is.
I love Adam Brody. Yeah. And you can tell that her mom is a real dance mom just from the hairstyle that Ariel has, because it's this kind of complicated braid thing on both sides weaved into a ponytail, which a person cannot do on their own. And I just remember... hours of, because I've always had really long hair, I just remember hours of my mom braiding my hair and just putting the pins in for dance and everything like that. And that to me is the sign of a real dance mom.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'm happy that she is okay and that they are very close. So this was a very basic, if, you know, perfectly executed competition dance routine. She's got great core strength, high leg lifts that she does multiple times for some reason. And it doesn't really stand out to me as something that's like really viable artistry beyond the competition circuit. But this is a competition, so she might fare well. I am really not sure.
Yeah, I think that she'll do well. I think that she might be somebody that we lose towards the end. I don't know if she has that passion that they're looking for. I think that she tries to have that passion. I mean, like, you could see it in her face when she was doing the dance that it was like clearly like she was feeling something about her mom, but like it doesn't. This is something that, like, I felt about Simone Biles when we were talking about Dancing with the Stars. And yes. I think I see this about Ariel DeStacio. Like, I feel like she, like, has it inside of her, but it just doesn't come through her, like, fingers, you know?
Yeah, well, competition blackout is a thing, so it's possible that she just focuses so much on the choreo,
exactly,
and the technique,
yeah,
that she doesn't think about her face. Or when she does, it's like, you know, I did a very specific style of competition dance in college, and we had like not choreographed facials, but like kind of, where it was like, and this is a good point to like give a wink or something like that. And I feel like it works the kind of, it works in the kind of like team flashbacks dance that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
It was going to like Dorney Park and have to like do like stylized routine. Like,
yeah, so it works in like a team competition setting, but when you're on your own, you're doing this heartfelt piece to sad music or whatever, like you can't just choreograph the facials. You have to actually, they have to be authentic.
Yeah, you really just, and you can't like forget about your face either. You have to just like feel it through your face.
Yeah, so this is the next time that Nigel and I are just so on the same page, and mm-hmm, I was very surprised by this, but while Mary and Vanessa send her straight through to the academy so it doesn't matter, Nigel says yes to choreography, and I was stunned.
Yeah, and I felt the same way, because I was like, I think that she would have done well with the choreography, but I think that it would have given her an opportunity to show that she could like stand out among other people who are equally as skilled, you know?
Yeah, I feel like Nigel usually loves these beautiful technical lyrical girls. Although I'm starting to think maybe Nigel only loves the young, beautiful textbook jazz girls, because they're like the contemporary girls, but sexy.
Yeah, maybe she was a little too like a little too virginal for him.
Yes, she was too pure. There was no booty shaking. There were no body rolls.
Exactly. But I thought she was good. And you know, like, I wasn't upset that they were like, no, you're insane, Nigel. Like, I wasn't like upset about it. So
yeah, it makes sense that she would go to the academy, just because sending her to choreography would be such a formality. Obviously, she's going to be able to pick up her choreography.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think that she would do well at that. And then she might take a spot of somebody who like would be able to prove themselves in choreography. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping she has the self-awareness to see that Nigel didn't send her straight through and like take that as like a kick in the pants.
Maybe. Yeah. And I mean, he even said, he was like, yeah, I think that you need to like work on your like passion a little bit.
Yeah.
More. But we need our old faves, quote unquote.
Yeah, I don't. OK, this little interview with Kat where this woman comes in whose name is Jamie Greco. I don't know who this is.
I didn't know who that was, but I knew who Chris Andrews, Chase Lindsay, and Jason Kidd were. I knew who all those three were.
Yeah, I am just so confused by this 36-year-old woman who is speaking to Kat. And like, I definitely should know who this is.
Why did her boobs squeak?
I don't know. There's probably some story. Maybe she was on last season with the kids, because that's the only season I didn't watch. But I've seen every single episode of this show other than that, and I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
So I was very confused by this. I'm sure Kelly might know. I will ask her when she gets back next week. But I just was so confused by this. But anyway, we get a little montage of people who have auditioned before. Chris Andrews got cut at the Green Mile. Chase C. Tut Lindsay and Jason Kidd, I don't know where they got cut. last time they auditioned, but they all make it through this time. They all go straight to the academy. So yeah. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember anything specifically about any of these people. I remember they showed who they are, but
the one with the spider hands. I remember that vaguely, but I was like, oh, okay, these people clearly were on the show before because they're all like best friends.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, good for them. I don't really know much about them. But next we have Romaine Sin Romaine from New Jersey. He's 29, so this is his last year auditioning, and he tried out 2 years ago. And in that time since then, he lost his cousin in a factory accident and just, like, breaks down talking about this. This is very sad.
Yeah, oh my God. I was really, really, this one, like, got me. I felt, like, I really, really liked him, and I felt like he had probably, between him and Zachary Downer, like, one of the better auditions of the night. Like, his dance style needed so much refinement, but he had such raw talent and passion that I was so into him.
Yeah, I really liked this because it was just really lovely the way that he would do things where, like, he would do moves that required technique, but mm-hmm. executed them without it, if that makes sense,
right?
But it seemed
yeah.
intentional. So he would do like a pirouette with a flexed foot or something like that. So it's like yeah. something that clearly requires technique, but he's choosing to do a spin on it so that yeah. it kind of just looked like the dance was just like bursting out of him. Like,
yeah,
I have to do this. Yeah. And I was so confused by the judges' critiques of this.
See, I think that they took his like passion and feeling and sort of like raw emotion as him feeling that way about the competition and his being 29 and just like needing to get there instead of his feelings about his cousin. Like, I think that they were misinterpreting the dance, like, because clearly, like, I think they must have heard the story, but like Mary kept saying at the end, like, this is your chance, like, it's not your last, you know, like, it's your last chance, like, you just need to do it and like let it all go. And like, I just felt like they were like making it a little bit more about him being 29 than it was about him like doing a dance for his cousin.
Yeah, because certainly that is his greatest struggle, being 29 and not being able to audition next year.
Yeah, like, it was clearly a dance about his cousin. Like, not yeah. all of his dances are going to be like that. Like,
I just don't understand why you can have a contemporary girl come out here, or even like on the main stage. Like, why can you have Mandy Moore choreograph mm-hmm. the saddest routine of all time, but a hip hop person is required to shine? And they kept saying that he had to shine. Like, why are they demanding that he's happy? Like, why are they demanding this from him? It's not like the routine lacked energy. It's not like it lacked commitment. Why is a hip hop person not allowed to do a more blue routine? Yeah.
I think it's also just I think they were concerned that he would do this sort of emotion, have this sort of down emotion in all of his dances because of where he is in his life. And it's like, I just think that he was putting that into this dance to show them how he felt about his cousin, how he felt about the performance, how he felt, you know, like all of that. So I think that that's sort of where we're at. With all of that.
Yeah, so he does go to choreography and he does end up making it through, despite what, from what I saw, did not seem like a stellar choreography performance, but they may be a little bit lenient with the hip hop dancers technique wise, because he was doing the choreography, yeah. he wasn't missing moves. So they might be a little more lenient if it's not your style, as long as you're picking up the moves. But he did make it, so that's good.
Yeah, so I'm glad that that he made it through for the choreography, and I do think that they were like being a little ridiculous when they made him do that. I feel like that was like forced a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they were
exactly.
Like, oh,
and that's
choreography. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and that's why, like, even though he didn't, I don't think did very well in the choreography, it's like there's all these other factors. Like, he's auditioned before, like, he went through this horrible thing. This is his last year. He shouldn't have gone to choreography in the first place.
Like,
so
what are you guys doing?
Yeah, so I think it's good that he made it.
Yeah, same. I really liked him, and I hope he does really well, but I'm like, I'm also a little like, if he doesn't, I you know, it's like, it is what it is, but
yeah, I'm not expecting him to go super far, but yeah. Great story. Seems like a great guy.
Yes, for sure. Super.
And switching gears, we next have Mark Full Out Royale.
And another person that I love. And
yeah, and I think Kat just asked him if he was gonna, if this was gonna be his bitch. Can you say that on Fox TV?
I mean, I guess. Is bitch one of those words that is like, is bitch one of those words? I don't think it is.
I was floored, and maybe I misheard it because I have a history of mishearing things and then making a big deal of it on podcasts.
Maybe
it's happened a lot to me lately.
You know, honestly, but I didn't hear that, so I couldn't tell you. But I don't know if like, bitch is one of those words. I think it might be a word that you're allowed to say, so.
She was like, are you ready? And he was like, yeah. And she was like, are you going to go and kill it? And he was like, yeah. She's like, you're going to make it your bitch? And I was like, Kat, family also, show.
Also just like, why are you being so insane right now, Kat? Like, relax a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm extremely into this audition. Oh, I don't care what the judges think. This is amazing.
He was so extra. He was like the epitome of like the New York state of mind. Like, he was just so extra, just so like on top of everything, like that he could have been. Like, that's just what you're gonna see if you go to a club in New York.
Yeah, he would, and he would bring down the club. He would be the best person at the club. And I understand what they're saying about his, you know, lack of technique. Like, that's such a nothing thing to say about this. Like, Vanessa's like, just like, you need a little work on your technique. Like, that's not what this is even about. Like, that's not a helpful critique. But the one thing I didn't like about the way that they edited this was that they ask him, like, how long have you been taking dance class? And he says, like, you know, 2 years or whatever. And then there's just like a long silence. Like, it's very possible that he's been taking dance for 2 years. He wasn't terrible. It just wasn't the same style of dance that the show looks for.
Yeah, exactly. I think that I mean, when we say he wasn't terrible, it's just like he wasn't really dancing so much as he was just like moving. Like, there was no choreography. Like, he was just like shaking. And then he was like, couldn't breathe. And that was a lot for me. That was so funny. but yeah, he was good. I was amused by him, at least.
Yeah. This is fine. I'm happy it happened. Lots of personality. And they kind of use it as a transition to be like, well, Mark didn't lack personality, but here's a thing that is about personality. It was like a rough transition to Claire Rathbun, who's a ballet dancer, and ballet historically has, I guess, issues with personality coming through. So that was kind of the vehicle for that.
Exactly.
her whole thing, this was all very confusing to me because she's a ballet dancer. She's 21. She's from Syracuse. And her whole thing is that she wants to prove that ballet dancers like have personality and high performance quality. And her routine did absolutely nothing to prove
right?
that.
I was just like, okay, so this first things I wrote down, is she a mouse? Question mark.
Yes.
And then I wrote, she's your typical boomer ballerina and I hate her. Period. Hate. And then I wrote hate. Period. And then I wrote, okay, her dance was good. And then I wrote, is it like center stage kind of? Question mark. So I was like, okay, so I started out hating her, and I really do. I hate her. I don't like her as a person on like a deep soul level. But I did like her dance. I thought it was pretty good, and I felt like it was like very center stagey. But I hate this type of person. Like, this is like my arch nemesis. Like, in dance class growing up, like, these were the girls that like made me want to die because they were just so much better than me and they knew like that's just what they would say. Like, that's just how, like, not that they were, but like they were just like, they're better than everyone and they're just yeah. They have such personality, Lita. They have such personality.
I have heard that she has just an enormous personality.
So much personality.
I was so frustrated by this because that's like her whole package. And then she does
a basic ballet dance.
It was the most basic possible ballet dance, except it was to like an Irish jig instead of Tchaikovsky.
I know.
Like, you can't just change the music and have the exact same thing where you just do a bunch of turns. You're on point. It's great. You do your leaps. There was not one move in there that I haven't seen before a million times.
I did feel like she did do a little bit more like towards the end. It got a little bit more like I said, like center stage. But, you know, where she like would break out into like the little like red point shoe section.
Yeah. So Kelly, publicly chewed me out on a podcast because I haven't seen this movie, and then I promised her I'd watch it, and then
no,
I had a
Lisa. I know. It's okay, you're baby. I'll allow it.
And I promised her I would watch it before the next podcast, but then I got like a crazy work schedule, and I'm sorry to all of the listeners that I said I would watch it. I really will watch it. I have some days off this week.
You're like fairly young, so I'll allow it.
Yes. I'm really going to enjoy it.
Like, I think like you'll feel really inspired by it.
So. I'm sure. Step Up is like my favorite movie ever. And if it's anything in that
Step Up one. Okay, so I have a really funny story about Step Up. I saw it in the movie theater with my best friend from college. And then we went back and saw it again because we like loved it so much. But we like we had like a moment where we felt like we were so shocked when, spoiler alert, when the brother dies.
When he dies, yeah.
When he dies. We were like so upset. But we loved Step Up was like TV gold.
It was
on TV the other day, and I like saw it, and I was just like, oh, it's the beginning of their love.
Yeah, because they're still married, Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum. It's amazing. Oh. I have so many feelings about Step Up, not the least of which is that on my birthday this year, I was home in Pittsburgh, and I went to one of my favorite gay bars, and they were playing that night's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. So I had to like avert my eyes because I didn't want to be spoiled. But then right after the episode ended, they put on Step Up, and I was like, this is the greatest gift I have ever received. Is this bar playing Step Up right now? And I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but my best friend and I, when we were like 11 or whenever Step Up came out, it was like around the same time as So You Think You Can Dance, like season two, like the height of our obsession, and we literally would just watch Step Up like every weekend. Like I would always go to her house. Yes, I've seen all of them except the 3D one.
Oh, okay, well yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I've seen Step Up to the Streets more times than I care to say.
I was gonna say I love Step Up to the Streets.
Yeah, it's good. So good. Like these dance movies, like this one, Step Up, and
Cinderella. No,
I don't remember.
Is that Center Stage too? I think that's Center Stage too. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that. That Step Up to the Streets is the one that prominently features Alison Stoner of Disney Channel fame, but. Yeah, I would just like go to her house and watch So You Think You Can Dance when it was on like three times a week. And then over the weekend, we would watch Step Up. And sometimes we would mix it up and we would watch Mad Hot Ballroom or Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas. But like we only ever wanted to watch dance movies. And now she's like a real dancer, like career.
I know, and my best friend from college, she went to school for dance and now she's a yoga instructor and like does like actual dance for her life. And like she has a baby and like is like living the dream. It's fine.
But I was just obsessed with dance
manager. And
I am a podcaster. I work at a restaurant. It's fine.
You just did college. That's different.
I just did college. And I remember one time in like middle school French class, we were doing like just like one-on-one interviews with the teacher for a test or something, and she asked me like, what is your favorite genre of movie? And I was like, dance movies. And she just thought that I was like not speaking French correctly because she just like didn't understand what I was saying. And I was like, dance is a movie genre. They're the only movies I watch. Like movies about dance. She thought I was trying to say like musicals or something, like music movies with dancing. And I was like, no, movies specifically about dance.
So funny.
All I cared about. So I will watch Center Stage is the moral of the story.
I think that's fine. I think that's like pretty standard, like when you're like obsessed with dance as a youngling.
Yeah. When you are watching season two and your first love is Ivan and it's all you think about. I was just obsessed with him, and he was 18 when I was 11. And at that time I was like, oh, he's so much older, like, which at that time it is, but he's only 7 years older than me. And now he's like touring with Justin Timberlake. And I still dream of one day, like meeting him. He's like 29.
One day. You'll never meet him.
Hey, it's possible.
Kidding. You will. And you'll get married. You guys will be in love. Isn't he married though? Doesn't he have like kids?
No. What?
I don't know anything about him in real life.
How dare you?
I just know him. I just made that up.
Like very much might be correct, and I don't know. He doesn't really use social media very much.
But it's fine. When you watch Center Stage, you'll just have to let me know how you feel about Charlie, and then let me know because I was in love with Charlie for so long. Ugh.
Okay. Noted.
I love him so much. You know, I'm married.
Mike doesn't care. I won't tell Mike.
He doesn't care. It's a character from the 90s, so moving on.
So the next thing we get, so before we go on to the next person, I was just talking about like how they're showing the bloopers. We even get a Nigel blooper where he means to say next dancer, please, but he accidentally says cue music when there's no one on the stage. And for some reason, I just laughed hysterically at this because I had just come from work. And like I said, I work at a restaurant and I was holding the door for someone and I meant to say, like, have a nice night. But I accidentally said, enjoy your dinner, because that's what I say when I seat people. And I was just so mortified for like the rest of my night that I was like, look, it happens to Nigel too.
Like, oh my God, I know.
Just telling people to enjoy as they leave the restaurant. Just like, it's been a long night. It's fine. But anyway, I appreciate these bloopers that they're throwing in.
Oh, I know. And I think that it's so funny because like she just like sits there and it's just like, waiting for them to make a mistake. And then it's just like, nope, roll it back. We're going to do that again. Like,
yeah. So the next thing we have, we finish off. He's our last auditioner of the season. Yeah, I feel the same way. His name is Lex Ishimoto.
He is H-A-W-T because he is hot.
I'm so glad you said that before I did, because I was about to say he's 18, so I'm legally allowed to say that he's really hot, right?
Yeah, no,
that's allowed.
I will say that his entire family is like very attractive.
Yes.
The way they walk and the way they're communicating with each other, they're all like very, very attractive. Like it's like almost robotic the way they're like interacting with each other. And I found it very, very weird and cool.
He's hot. He's bilingual. He has a cool family. He's ridiculously good at dancing
all the
time,
to
a point where it's like offensive to me.
It is offensive. I'm offended.
But he's a teenager and he's this talented.
I'm offended like, by him.
This is hurtful.
And his earrings. And his cool family and his all the types of dances that he knows.
I did not go to high school with any guys like this. Where were they when I was in high school?
When were you in high school? When did you graduate?
2013. But I just like, he's 18. He's still in high school. I guess that they were all in Travis Wall's Shaping Sound. That's where they were.
Yeah, that's where they were. Where I graduated high school in 2007. So just imagine the wasteland that I had to deal with.
Is that before handsome people were invented?
Yeah, it's before, and we were just getting away from cargo pants, so it's like...
Oh, no.
And we were, like, just... So, eighth grade, like, I thought I was Avril Lavigne, and all
that's my celebrity lookalike.
It is your celebrity lookalike. It is not mine.
I used to get stopped on the streets for people to tell me that I look like Avril Lavigne.
You do actually look like Avril Lavigne. Yeah. But I was like, that was the look. That was like the cool look. So like everyone was seen. Everyone was like, I'm going to be cool and emo, or I'm going to be super like polo shirts. And then there was a like a period in high school where like I wore rain boots every day to school.
Oh, quirky.
Super quirky. not sure why. So. You know, life was hard in the 007 years. So, the James Bond high school years.
007.
007.
Yeah. I feel like that's useful, though, because we had a uniform at my school. So it was kind of hard to tell, like, what people were about.
No, I wish I had a uniform. It would have made the wasteland much easier.
Yeah, it was nice to never think about what I had to wear. Obviously, I hated it at the time, but you had to find like other ways to express yourself because everyone was in a plaid skirt and a polo shirt. So you had to like.
But
have
you know what?
Cool
like looking stuff. Back on it, like I just wish I didn't have to express myself. It was exhausting.
Expressing yourself is something that
it's so hard.
Is not good for to demand of teenagers. It's they make bad choices.
So hard. Anyway, we love Lex, and he's winning. So you think dance. Right?
Yeah, so basically. Yes, of course. So I'm a little, I mean, wait until like he gets with Sonia Taya, like, oh my God,
know,
he's gonna
I
be
know.
Able to do anything. I'm a little confused as to why, because he is a professional dancer.
Right,
not
he's
just
on a
professional
dance
dancer,
team.
But he's in a dance company with someone who is a choreographer on the show. Like, that seems a little unfair, right?
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, he's, because he's so young, I think they can get away with it because he clearly just joined. I don't think they let you join dance troupes like that until you are 18. And I think, I mean, that's just my guess. I imagine that's, I mean, I don't know, but I hope
I don't know either.
I hope that that's why they're getting away with this, because otherwise that's super unfair. Yeah.
I mean, like, I would be more upset about it, except that this is like a grand tradition of So You Think You Can Dance. I remember in season three, Lauren Gottlieb was like the actual like demo partner of maybe like Brian Friedman or one of them.
I forgot about that. And she
I don't remember which choreographer it was, but she was like their partner that you could see her in. If you watch season one and season two, you can like see her in the audition room, I mean in the choreography room, like rehearsing with them. So this is something that So You Think You Can Dance has always been fine with. It's just strange to me because you wouldn't think that like on any other reality show, someone who has like been intensely involved with the show or someone who is like important to the show would be allowed to do this. But I guess if it's a talent competition, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because like your talent's your talent. So he
like knowing Travis isn't gonna help him, but I don't know,
because it's not like he can give him skills. Like, he has to have that skill.
Yeah, and it's not like Travis is a judge who can decide, but it still seems like a little sketch, but it's worth it because I'm fine with him winning this season he's amazing. He like we talked about his family, he was inspired to dance by his older sister. He just seems like a really nice young man, very respectful, very, he talks about the importance of discipline, like, which is hugely important in dance. He seems so nice. And he says he's going to improvise his routine, which I'm not sure if I even believe, but that might just be how good he is.
I mean, and then he was like, oh, I improvised this.
Yeah.
So like, we'll say, I mean, maybe he.
Yeah, maybe he did. It's possible. I'm speechless at this, at his swipes. Like, Nigel talks about the double swipe, which I have also never seen before. I just, the control, the flexibility, and like his facials too. Like, he has a really compelling face.
And I think that, like, just sort of when he's standing there, you wouldn't think that because he has such a, like, a nice, gentle face. So you're not you're not super taken aback by him. Like, he's not too aggressive. He's not, like, super thrown off. Like, I think that, you know, that's sort of what we're, what you're, like, you're not super, I don't know, I'm trying to say, like, I guess intimidated. But, and then he gets on stage and he has such a presence is crazy. So
and he gets the only standing ovation of the night, and I'm just relieved that standing O's means something again, because these judges in these last couple episodes have been giving them out for everything.
I know, and they were like, oh, you got a standing O, like,
yeah, truly diminished the meaning of the standing ovation. So I'm glad that we are back to only one of the night.
So funny. They're so fickle, these judges. They just like, they give it, they take it, they do what they want.
Yeah, I didn't even write down who Mary put on the hot tamale train this episode, because it doesn't mean anything. It's been completely cheapened, Mary.
She said it like four times.
Yeah, I don't even write it down anymore. It doesn't matter.
I know. That's why I was just like, wait, I forgot that she did that, because like, she said it so many times. So I guess it doesn't matter.
You're right. It doesn't mean anything. So apart from the early audition that I said, Zachary Downer, I think, was still my favorite, but this was definitely a close second, just for different reasons. I think that this was probably maybe a better audition, but it didn't move me in the same way, but I still loved it.
Yeah, and Zachary Downer just had this like really great story. I think that him coming back and his sort of background in, you know, what we know about him is just very moving and exciting to see where he'll go, whereas this was just like, wow, this kid's kicking it. Like, I'm excited to see what he'll do, just from a skill level, whereas hopefully Zachary Downer will just like rise above, you know, the level that he did last time and do really well. So we'll see.
Yeah. So we get a little bit of the choreography round. Like I said, Romaine ends up making it, which was a little confusing, but good for me. And Romita makes it through, which I'm not surprised about at all. And they say that 100 went through to the academy. And I am curious about what happened, because there must have been some injury situations or people not going through with it, because I tweeted out the link to the opening academy routine and there are only 98 dancers in that. It says that I didn't count, but there are 98 dancers that ended up starting at the academy, so I'm not sure what happened.
Very curious. So I'm wondering what happened there, because that's definitely not the amount they announced right now, so we'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's injuries, I'm sure people quit, something like that.
Yeah, so we currently have 98 dancers in the competition. 10 are going to go through to the main stage. They will each be, I believe they will be chosen by an all-star. So it's kind of like a voice type thing, which is interesting. I think I will. Yeah, it's hard to say because, again, I did not watch the season where they introduced this, but. You know, I'm hopeful because they do have some really good all-stars. Allison Holker is there. Fiction is there. Jenna is there. Lots of your Dancing with the Stars people are hanging out.
It's going to depend on, like, how they do it. Like, if the all-stars are good or not. That's, like, all you can count on, really, at this point, I think. Otherwise, like, if they don't manage it well, then it's not going to go well. But I think that they'll do a good job, hopefully.
Yeah, and that everyone is fair in their assessment and not just pick someone that they feel like, oh, this person's style is really similar to mine, so we'll make something really good.
No, they,
because then it's just luck of the draw. That like, oh, like I have this amazing style that would match really well with like this person that would be perfect with Mark Kitamura, but like he's not here.
I hope that that's not the case, because that would be a shame.
But Comfort is back. I'm excited. Jasmine Harper, I think, is there. I was trying to see who was all there. So it looks like a great and diverse lineup of all-stars style-wise. So we will see. And we will certainly talk through the new formula more as it approaches. Any final thoughts from you about this episode or the season in general, Angela?
Well, I'm really excited. I'm excited that you guys are covering it. It's been great listening to you so far. You guys are killing it. And I'm so happy you let me come on and chit-chat about it, because I think that this new format is working out for me, because I do think that I lost track of So You Think You Could Dance, because it was, you know, kind of similar to Dancing with the Stars, where you can get sort of saturated with the content, and it can become kind of a chore to watch sometimes, especially with sort of with So You Think You Can Dance, sometimes it can be a little content driven. So it's like, another dance, you know, but with the 1 hour show, I was like, let's do it. Get it. You know, so I was like really excited to watch this season. So I'm excited to, you know, see where this goes. I think they have a really solid group of dancers. So format aside, I hope that, you know, we get some good people in the main stage this time. And I hope that, you know, the judges continue to be hopefully not too boring with their banter. I hope the banter picks up between Mary and Nigel, at least.
Yeah. And I gotta agree with you. As great as having multiple hour-long episodes like three times a week was when I was 12, does not work for me anymore.
I have a really hefty TV schedule.
Yeah, especially it's on Mondays at the exact same time as The Bachelor, which is The Bachelorette, which is 2 hours, and American Ninja Warrior, which is 2 hours. So I have 5 hours of Monday night TV, and I work Mondays. Yeah. So
I mean, I have like a full time job. Like this is like, and also a full time TV watching job. So
yeah,
I mean,
so good on you. So you think you can dance?
I love watching TV. So you know,
yeah, I know. I'm sure it wasn't their decision. I'm sure there would still be 5 hours of content every week.
Right.
If they could. But I think that this works better for
and
them.
And it's more fun. I think it's more fun to just watch it and enjoy it and then move on and be excited about the next week instead of like, oh my God, it's on again already, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
Well, you are always welcome on this pod anytime you want. And where can people find you on Twitter and other social media to keep up with your adventures?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ange Pelagi, so it's A-N-G-P-A-L-A-G-G-I. That's the good old maiden name. I'm also on Instagram. Follow me there, same handle.
And your dog is on Instagram.
Oh, my dog is on Instagram. She's at Lily Bloom, puppy dog. She's recovering from a little foot injury right now, but she's doing well, in case anyone cares.
What a trooper.
She's a trooper, little pup. But otherwise, yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm out there on the interwebs, beating up a storm.
Amazing. And you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. Please follow me on Instagram. I'm really insecure about the disproportionate number of Twitter followers I have compared to Instagram. I've been trying to promote it more. So you can follow me there. After this, I am recording the American Ninja Warrior podcast about the Cleveland City Qualifiers. Very exciting episode. Recording that with Taryn Armstrong. So you should definitely check that out. And check out our interview with Cleveland Qualifier competitors, Alyssa Beard and James the Beast McGrath. We had that out this week. It was an amazing conversation. Highly recommend you check that out if you're interested at all in American Ninja Warrior or Sasuke or any of that. So you can find that on robhesawebsite.com. Subscribe to reality TV wrap up. So you can get this, you can get The Bachelorette, you can get American Ninja Warrior, The Challenge, everything. All our friends are in full swing. So subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast and the reality TV wrap ups. Make sure you don't miss anything and comment on our podcast. We love interacting with you. You are all so kind when we mess up information because we missed a whole season and things like that.
We're not perfect.
Yeah. No, people actually are very nice just because we don't know these new rules. People have been really helpful. And they only yell at me a little bit for not having seen Center Stage.
I mean, yeah, it's a travesty, but she's working on it.
It is. I will make it happen. I'm trying to grow and change as a person and be better. All right. Well, that is our show. Thank you so much again, Angela. And we will see you next time.
Thanks.
So you think you can dance?